Thanks for listening to the Last Days podcast with Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes. To stay connected, please check out the River of Tri-Cities Church on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, or online at riveroftricities.com. The Last Days podcast can be found on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. Now, here's Dr. Todd and Katie Holmes.
We were talking about the false idea that living together first will help us. And then we touched on those people who have gone through failed marriages. And, you know, and there's a number of people that, you know, that we know, you know, that have had a failed marriage. And one mistake is thinking that after one failed marriage, you won't make the same mistake again. Let me just tell you, you're actually more prone to make the same mistake again if you have made it one time. Just because you've gone through something doesn't mean you won't do it again. It's just that it will hurt more the next time. Mm-hmm. Okay? Take case in point, you're hammering a nail. You hit your thumb. I'll learn from that. I won't do it again. You know what? You probably are going to do it, and it's going to hurt a whole lot worse the next time you hit it. Right. Okay? And so that's another reason why we tell people, even if you've been married before, yes, you need counseling. In fact, you probably need additional counseling.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's not covering the same stuff that you covered in premarital counseling before someone had ever been, you know, lived together with somebody or been in a relationship or marriage. But there's other things that come into play. And often things are repeated mistakes. And then you find people that come out of a failed marriage with all kinds of baggage. Mm-hmm. And you got to get rid of that baggage. It's not right for your new spouse to take in all the baggage from the other spouse. Mm-hmm. And then you have to live beyond the failures of the previous spouse because they view you through the eyes of failure. Mm-hmm. And that's not even right. And so a lot of times, you know, there's got to be some talking, some understanding, some negotiating, some working things out. And the other problem, which was very close to that, and number nine, actually, but we still have to go back up to six, is thinking that it was all the other person, that it was all their problem when you were married, okay? Because mm-hmm. people just blame everything. Well, it was my spouse. And then you find out after five failed marriages, you know what? You're the common denominator.
Right.
Or four or three failed marriages. You're the common denominator. But it was always the other person. Is that right? Well, let me tell you this. You're a bad chooser.
Yes.
Right. Okay. It's like you're a bad chooser. And so I would not suggest you choosing anymore. Okay. Because you just don't excel in that area.
You don't know how to
say stay single. Okay. And probably somebody listening to me right now. Well, I've been married three or four times. Oh, sorry. You know what? That's not God's plan. That's not God's plan. You have missed it. And you say, well, it was all the other person. You still missed it because God wouldn't lead you into something that he knew was going to fail. Do you not think that God knew the future? Do you not think that God tried to warn you in advance? Yeah, he did. But most of the time, we're just too stupid to listen because... Well, I told one man, you know what? Because your head, you're led more from your lower head than you are your upper head.
Oh my gosh!
Okay, and you don't even think about things. You're just like, oh, this is where I'm going. You know. Sorry, so pick yourself up off the floor there. I honestly did say that. I've told that a few guys there. You know, like,
and it's amazing those guys knew exactly what you're talking
about.
Oh,
they did exactly. Yeah, because they came back later and said, you know, you're exactly right. That is the reason I was, you know, hot after her. Yeah, I can tell that. You know, you say, I've thought all this through. No, you haven't. You haven't thought it through. You know, you're being led by your lower head. That's all there is to it, okay, right there.
Oh, and, my gosh. And we pretty much just make it plain.
We do make it very plain. And, I'm not pulling any punches. I'm actually in there to help people succeed in their marriages and in their lives.
For sure.
And if I see there's an issue, I am going to say something about it. I'm not going to say, well, you know, I saw that, but didn't want to say anything. That would make it awkward for me.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't have that written in my notes, those words or anything like that.
You don't.
And in fact, I've never said it in front of my wife either to another guy because I would not do that. Because I'm not, you know, one-on-one.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, I'm going to smack
thank
you with
you
it. I'm
so
going to tell
much.
You the truth. And because that's where people are because they don't think clearly. And right. and surely, if after you've gone after one fail, after another fail, after another fail, you know what? You need some advice. And you need somebody that's just going to really shoot straight with you and say, what in the world are you doing?
Right.
Why are you thinking that this is going to work? And right. do you really see what you're getting ready to marry here? Hello? Hello?
Well, that's why outside...
Do you see what I see?
That's why outside perspective is so helpful.
It's very helpful. But you know? People wanting to get married, they won't listen to that outside perspective. I've had people that just walked away from it. I don't ever want to talk to you again. Well, why? Because I'm being honest with you. I'm telling you the truth. This is not going to work. Hello, it's not going to work. They don't want to hear that.
Right. And I think that a lot of it, especially when it comes to repeated marriages, that of course, and this is a thing that we hear a lot from, you know, like older ones, like, you know, when you even present the idea of like premarital counsel, I'm 60 years old. Do you not think that I don't know anything in life? No, it's I never even implied that whatsoever. But I mean, you are making, like, other than getting saved, this is like the most important decision that you make in your life, because it affects your whole destiny and if you're actually even able to fulfill the call of God upon your life. I mean, don't you think it actually, then, if it's that important, that you should actually take the time and get properly prepared and make sure that you are making a quality decision? Because, you know, as the saying goes, love is blind. You know, we tell people, hey, listen, when you're dating, your eyes need to be like fully open and you need to be evaluating and seeing each other in different types of situations. Well, I mean, if you're going to, and a lot of the problem I was starting to say is with people with repeated marriages, they want to just jump into something so fast. And Christians use the excuse like, well, I mean, it's better to be married than to burn. Yeah, but it's also better to be able to stay married.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you don't even know what you're getting to, because I mean, so many people, I mean, we have counseled, this would shock you, people that they have had the most dynamic supernatural signs from God that they were supposed to be married. And do you know when it all came down to it, because of the idiots that they were and because of the stuff that they did and because they really weren't compatible and they would fight all these kind of crazy things, even though God gave them such a supernatural sign, they weren't even able to stay married. So like at the end of the day, what the heck did that even matter?
Yep.
And so, again, because if they would have gotten to know each other and they would have actually realized what they were going into and they could actually then commit themselves, because when you make a marriage vow, you're committing all of yourself.
Let me just say this. If you say you've got a word from God about marrying somebody, let me tell you something. You're getting ready to go through some hell.
Yeah.
Because
be tested on it. Oh, that's why you have to have the word.
That's why you have to have the word.
Right.
Okay. Otherwise,
because it's going to be rough.
Know, yeah. You better be prepared. Well, God spoke to me and told me. When I hear that, I'm like, "Uh-oh, crud! You're getting ready to go through some hell. You're going to get your faith tested. You're going to have to come back to the fact that
many
God
times,
spoke to
right,
me and
this was
told
the God's
me
will.
This.
Yeah,
because it's not going to look like it's the right thing. It's going to be you're going to have to work it out. You're going to have to work it out big.
And so many people would just actually avoid so many problems and so many issues, again, if they would just take the time to not only get to know each other, do premarital counseling, learn
be
how
intentional.
To, I mean, it's like, it's basic in a sense, but it's actually the super foundational things. You know, the three reasons, the top reasons why people divorce: communication, finances, and sex. Okay, just in communication, a lot of people don't even know how to communicate. And part of that is conflict resolution. They don't even know how to, like, if you have an argument, you know, one gives a silent treatment, one blows up, one just disappears for days. One, you know, I mean, they don't even properly know how to communicate like kids, let alone adults, you know? And so many of these things, they're not actually that complicated of things, but you have to, ahead of time, work all of these things out and learn some things about yourself. You know, when you're in a relationship, you're going to learn a lot more about yourself than if you're just alone, actually, because the other person sees what you don't see, actually.
Absolutely.
You know, and so listen, listen to your friends around you. Listen to people around you. They actually will observe things that you don't. And when they say, you know what, I just want to tell you, I'm just a little bit concerned about this. Don't sit there and go, oh, you just don't want me to get married. And you're just controlling and blah, 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 blah.
No, they love you.
Yeah, they're actually, you know, God sends, actually, he surrounds us. And the Bible tells us that in a multitude of counsel, there's wisdom, there's safety.
Mm-hmm.
There's safety in that.
And you've probably heard me say many times, everybody needs the Holy Ghost. And a friend.
Right.
Okay? Because a friend's just going to get up in your face, and the Bible says faithful are the wounds of a friend. They're mm-hmm. not afraid. Oh, you know, I'll smack you with this truth right here. This is going to hurt, but let me tell you something. This is the truth. I love you, but this is the way it is. And you need that. You need to hear from that. Mm-hmm. And you need pastors also that are going to speak the truth to you.
Right.
And just be very honest with you. Yeah, you know, this isn't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm just telling you. We had one couple that we loved, both of them fantastic. And I want to tell you, when they were on spiritually, they were like the dynamic duo.
Oh, man.
Incredible.
Powerful.
Absolutely when amazing. They just like, we want to get married. But the problem is they fought all the time. I mean, all the time.
They were more like, off than on.
They were
that
more
was
off.
The problem.
Yeah. And we counseled them. We did a full thing of counseling, like 6 weeks of counseling, got done with it and said, no, we're not marrying you. You're not ready for marriage. You know, no, this is not right. And so they broke things off
mm-hmm.
and stayed apart from each other for mm-hmm. Like a year.
Yeah,
and they decided,
great.
Okay, we're going to mm-hmm. start dating again.
Yep.
And so they started dating again, said, okay, we want to get married again, and went through a whole another thing of counseling with them again, another whole 6 weeks of counseling, but they were still fighting all the time. And just like, I mean, these were big fights, like not small fights, big fights.
Yeah.
And so when they got done, I said,
oh,
no, we're not going to marry you. No, absolutely again. We say, no, we're not going to do it. Well, they said, well, we're getting married anyway. And they did. So they went to somebody else, got the marriage done, mm-hmm. and went on their honeymoon, came back from their honeymoon. And I see the guy, and I said, hey. I said, so you're back from a honeymoon? Yeah. I said, so how was the honeymoon? And, oh, that was the other problem. They fought all the time, and they kept having premarital sex.
Yeah.
And so anyway, so
they literally said, we know that this area of you have sex, this is not going to be an issue for us at all. We have great sex.
And we told them exactly where their problems were going to
be.
100%.
Yeah.
This is where you're going to have the biggest problems if you get married, but we're not doing the marriage. And so anyway, they went ahead and got married, went on their honeymoon, came back. I said, so how was the honeymoon? He goes, man, that was the worst thing. He goes, we fought the whole time and we didn't have sex one time.
Yeah.
That was it.
Stupid.
And they're divorced now.
Yeah. I mean.
Why? Same reasons. And so
and it wasn't just issues. Sex, they're divorced.
No,
all the fighting,
no.
All the,
just
many, many
all issues, kinds of issues. Right. But the problem is that you have to make a decision. And you have to be very intentional that this is what I know is the plan of God. And whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it in myself. And my wife and I, we've made that determination among ourselves. Divorce is never an option. Okay?
Right. Never that's, even in our vocabulary.
It doesn't, no, we don't, we that never comes up at all because that's never, it never is or will be an option.
It's not a threat. It's not a solution. It's
no.
It's not, it's nothing.
It's giving up.
It's literally, yeah.
And when you have, I heard Kenneth Hagin say, when I was a student, back in my Bible college days, he says, there's never been a case in the history of mankind where two Christians, two spirit-filled Christians walking together in love have ever gotten a divorce. And when he said that, my mind exploded. I was like, what in the world did he just say? He repeated it. He said, there's never been in the history of mankind ever two spirit-filled Christians walking in love that have ever gotten a divorce. And then I realized I had to put all that together. I was like, yep, that's got to be the truth.
Right. You think, yeah, because if one had an affair, which would be a reason, you know, people would maybe divorce, then
somebody
obviously they weren't walking in
love,
right?
Yeah.
I mean, any reason you could think of, it you know.
Yeah, but it's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And so what you have to do as an individual right now, as you're single, those of you listening to us that are single, you have to make the decision. I am going to be full of the Spirit of God, and I'm always going to walk in love.
Mm-hmm.
And I make a decision, no matter what goes on in my life, in my marriage, going forward, I will always choose to walk in love. That means you always choose to forgive.
Right.
You say, well, you don't understand what they did. Doesn't matter what they did. Will you forgive them? Will you walk in love? And so it takes two walking together in love, spirit-filled Christians, to be able to go in the direction that God has for you. And you just have to make these choices, and you have to be determined and make intentional choices. This is the way it is. And what do you need to do to work on yourself? Not, well, they have to make all the changes. No,
right.
No, you have to work on yourself. You don't change the other person.
Right. Oh, yeah, that's so true. Because if you're, and a lot of times, you know, ladies actually go into a marriage even thinking, well, you know, I don't really like the way he dresses, or I don't like this about him. I don't, but I mean, it's okay. I mean, after we're married, I'll just change him. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then a guy goes into the marriage thinking, okay, well, I mean, this lady, she's awesome. And I mean, and she's never going to change at all. Well, I mean, isn't it funny once you get married? I mean, you know. Ladies, I mean, they're just like, you know, very fluid sometimes. Now, I don't use that word as in like, okay, one day she's a man, one day she's a lady. That's not what I'm talking about. No, that's a psycho.
Not that's at all.
A confused person. No, but what I'm talking about is that actually ladies do change. They're not just these predictable creatures of habit. And sometimes, you know, guys have a hard time, you know, figuring them out. I mean, I get that.
Amen.
Like, well, you used to like this, but now you don't. No, I got tired of that. No, I need more variety or whatever, you know.
Guys are just kind of like
creatures most of
guys,
habit.
Yeah,
you know?
Creatures of habit. We just do the same thing, same way. Just keep doing it. Yeah. I can wear the same clothes for 30 years.
Oh, my gosh. That's why you got to go in and, you know.
I went in one time and she had thrown out like all but three of my ties.
I think I told you ahead of time that, like, oh, well, you probably have some ties.
I don't remember that. But I do remember going in, it's just like, because I had like 50 ties, and all of a sudden I walk in and I'm just like, there's like three left. I was like, what happened? I got rid of those. You need something new. I was like, wow, I really liked some of those. But they were gone. I mean, they were gone. Never, ever saw them again. They were like permanently deleted from my life.
I think I remembered a little bit differently, but I have bought you some nice ties.
That's my reality.
I have bought
you bought me some beautiful ties. Yes, they have.
Oh gosh.
But
anyway.
That's why number seven.
Good transition.
Thinking that you don't need premarital counseling. That's another big mistake single people make.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
You need, yeah, please. For the world's sake, would you please get some premarital counseling? Don't think that you're the exception.
Right. You're not.
No, you're not.
We'll just tell you, you're not at
all.
No,
you're not. You need to get some premarital counseling.
Yes. You know, even like the fact, you know, when we got married, of course, we were a little bit older. There's 7 years between us. I was 27. Todd was 34. And even though, of course, he'd been in ministry for a number of years, I mean, really started in ministry when he was, what, 16, as doing, you know, being a youth pastor and everything. And of course, you know, did some working other jobs while in ministry as well. But
not
anyway,
that I would recommend most 16-year-olds to be a youth pastor.
No,
okay, let me just state
not.
That right there, okay?
Yeah, right, definitely not.
Yeah.
Good thing you were like right underneath your dad there so he could
yes.
just, you know, oversee
great
everything.
Great watchful
there.
Eye and great advice. Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah,
wonderful.
He was a wonderful man. Really a wonderful pastor. And but anyway, even though we were older, I was I had been working in full-time ministry for a number of years for a lady, amazing, a lady evangelist. Many of you know her, Dr. Debbie Rich, still an amazing friend and just, you know, has been just a wonderful mentor and teacher to us through the years.
We claim you, Debbie. We love you.
She's been so just so helpful and so amazing. But anyway, so we're both in ministry. We're both very, you know, set in knowing what God had called us to. We had the fruit of, you know, a very on fire spiritual life before the Lord. I mean, really, you know, and obviously all credit to the Lord and everything. I'm just trying to give you a picture of where we were at. And here, you know, here's Todd, who, you know, like I said, even though he's traveling and everything, he also did pastoral work some at the church as well, on staff full time there. And so he was having to, he did counseling himself, like counseling other people that were going to get married. But do you know that, that when we, once we got engaged, we said to each other, no, we recognize we, this is, even though you already counsel people, we've learned a lot. We've taken time in dating. You know, we had about a 9 month, you know, long distance relationship. But then once we got engaged, I moved to this so it could be at least in the same city. And obviously did not live together. Obviously we lived in different households and everything like that.
Yep.
And we recognized once we got engaged that we needed to be in the same place so that we could be with each other day in and day out and see each other in different, you know, situations other than just like, okay, a week in this country and a week in this place, or I'd come visit him for a few days, but when I was between trips or whatever, you know, we recognized that we need that. And we also said, we've got to go to, you know, get premarital counseling. So we actually went to, there was another minister that my husband knew that was on staff at a larger church, and they had a full-on premarital counseling program. And so we went through classes, we went through individual counseling, everything, because we recognized that, you know, we're not going to tell somebody else to do something that we wouldn't do ourselves. And so, and I just give that as an encouragement, because some people give excuses like, oh, well, I've counseled myself, or, you know, I've read a lot of books, or, you know, I'm a psychologist or whatever. Every single person, regardless of what you know, what you've done, what you've experienced or whatever, mm-hmm. you need that outside person that you're accountable to that can actually speak the truth and can give you tools to help the two of you. And that actually, I feel like is a responsibility that we have before the Lord also, because, you know, if we want, you know, the Lord's involvement in our marriage, which of course every Christian should, right? That's really the only way that you're going to have a fruitful and wonderful marriage. Marriage is meant to be the strongest union that there is here on earth.
Absolutely.
The most powerful union, the most fruitful union. I'm not talking about just bringing forth kids. I'm talking about fruitful in every way. We are to be the example to the world of what God is. And he should be living within us. His fruit should be coming forth from our life. The anointing should be upon us. The blessing. Yeah. Everything starts at home, okay? And so, in your personal life. And so in order to be ready and prepared to do that, that's what you have to be able to commit to. That's what you need to be able to do.
100%. You have to commit here. Another mistake that Christians make, we're jumping all over the numbers here and everything like that, is just because they're a Christian, they see our future will just work out.
It's just like dumb. This is really dumb, that thought.
Yeah, that's a nice word, dumb. because that's not the case. All right. That's you, so you have that one commonality that you're a Christian. Let me tell you this. You need a whole lot more in common. You need some help
to keep you together. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Just because you're a Christian, because honestly, the divorce rates for the church are the same as they are in the world.
Well, it's about a 50-50. That's so ridiculous.
And so you can't say, well, we're a Christian and so everything's just going to work out. No, it's not. Marriage is going to take some real work. Mm-hmm. It's going to take some real walking in love. It's going to take some understanding. It's going to take some compromise, working together, making some things work that don't seem like they're going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Going out of your way to give preference to your spouse, and this is what's going to help them. This is what's going to be a blessing to them. Well, it's going to affect me in this way. Well, you know what? You're married. Suck it up. You know, this is what it takes. And so it can't all be about you. And so you have to learn now. This is how this is going to be. And so just because you're a Christian, don't go for that lie in your head that everything's just going to work out fine. As long as, you know, we're just going to love the Lord and he's going to make it all work out and everything. Yeah. It's like you think your marriage is going to be a prayer meeting. It's not.
Okay. People do think that though.
Or they just think it's just going to flow and it's all just going to be, you know, the presence of God is always going to just be there. And I'm going to tell you, marriage is a very natural thing.
Right. And especially if you get like some flaky Christians that, like Lord. Literally they don't have a realistic grasp on anything. Okay.
Life.
Yeah. Then it's very hard to like work with a person like that. Okay. So you might say, well, I'm not like that. But if the person that you're marrying is like that, or they're like super religious, that is such a bummer. I just can't even imagine. You need to be with someone that you can actually like relate to and you enjoy spending time together. So you've got to have some commonalities. I mean, some couples, it's like they get in a fight all the time just because they can't even figure out anything that they're going to eat because they don't even ever like. I mean, she is like, you know, some weird extreme of a vegan, and he is like, I need some, you know, beef and mashed potatoes and gravy, and it just doesn't work out, you know. And you know, obviously I realize that, you know, sometimes our, you know, for because of medical reasons or because we want to lose weight or whatever, you know, or we want to go healthier, our diet is going to change and adjust to order. But I'm just talking about if you have such extremes, then you have to be a person that is so flexible and is so willing to like change all the time. And the older you get, the less you're like that. Okay. So you just have to recognize going into things. A lot of times people don't have a realistic expectation, I think, of all. And so they're actually like super disappointed at how marriage turns out, and then they think they miss God, and then so then they don't even, they're like, oh well, I just married the wrong one, I'll just get a divorce then.
Yeah,
that's not an option.
Or you marry somebody because of a particular attribute of theirs, particularly physically, and all of a sudden, you know, things begin to change.
Yeah,
you know?
A gravity takes place.
Gravity like takes place and
go south,
you know, and you know, things turn loose and you know. Just like, wow, you used to have such a nice smile, such great teeth, and now they're all gone. Or,
oh, no.
Now your hair's gone. Or,
oh, no.
You know, you're like, what happened to your boobs? I mean, what's going on here? It's like, wow, you know, you had a great butt, but now that's all I see. Okay.
A flat butt. That's, flat or enlarged.
No, yeah. Wide. It's like, okay, wow, things have changed here.
Oh, my God.
It's like, well, I was praying, enlarge my territory, Lord. And so,
I kept sitting on it.
Yeah. You know, things will change. That's not a reason for divorce, people. Okay.
So, but again, what you said though, if that was the whole reason that you got married,
you're going to be really disappointed.
Yeah.
You're going to be like aghast, like, oh my gosh.
And then you're grasping for, what is it that, what do we have in common? You know?
No, exactly right. You know, it's just like, you know, I married her just because, you know, of this particular physical attribute.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? That's not a reason to marry somebody.
Yeah, or sometimes okay? People even on, you know, because we're talking about that, you know, that thinking that, of course, if they're a Christian, it's just everything is just going to be like wonderful and easy and whatever, because, you know, I had a wonderful relationship with the Lord. And so I just assume that, you know, this other person had that same type of relationship with the Lord. And so we would just join up and it would just be like, we would automatically just know what to do and how to do it. Because I mean, marriage is from the Lord, right? And it would just be like natural and smooth and easy. Well, the thing is though, is that you're blending like, And most of us, as the saying goes, you know, opposites attract, and you need to be very opposite in certain ways. But also, you know, opposites don't really often get along very well. And so you're going to have to learn how to communicate and how to, you know, really appreciate and embrace the differences and yet how to make them work together.
Mm-hmm.
Because very if true. You don't, and a lot of people don't even recognize, they're not even able to recognize strengths and weaknesses. And so instead you're just frustrated with a person, and it would be like the exact reason they were like, you know, the thing, like if you take someone who is like, very like they just totally go with the flow all the time, but they have no structure in their life and they're not organized, right? So you have maybe that type where they're just like, they're always in like up for like a party or whatever, but there's no structure in their life. So they're fun, but you know, after a while, that's not very fun when someone can't even find for the 10th time they've lost the car keys, like within a week's time. That gets very old to the person who is, you know, very structured and organized, you know? Sure. And so, but people, so oftentimes I'm just going to say the thing that you really admired in the other person, or maybe was part of the reason that you know, you were attracted to each other, that specific thing has been the thing that I have seen that drives the other person crazy once you're married. And so you have to learn to be able to, you know, appreciate the things and work through the things and adjust and compromise, not compromise the word of God, but compromise in working together and working things out. And there's give and take much more than you think that there's going to be. So, you know, you really, obviously, you need to be equally yoked. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked, okay? If you're a Christian and you're spirit-filled and you're on fire for God, don't be looking for someone who, like, goes to church once every 6 months. They think that being filled with the Spirit is equivalent to the devil, you know, speaking through you. I mean, this is not the type of person you'd even consider marrying, and let alone someone who isn't saved. You need to be equally yoked, but understand that this also needs to be someone that, like, you can serve God together. So you have vision that they complement each other, that you can work together, you have fun. I mean, my husband and I can literally talk about any subject there is. And both of us, I mean, obviously there's things that he knows more about, or that there might be, you know, some things that I know more about than he does, but we can still, it's not like, you know, one of us is a genius and the other is a total
airhead.
No, I mean, not again, like those are
it
actually
would never
things.
Work. It would never
right.
work.
It wouldn't, you know, we're trying to run a ministry together and
to be compatible mentally.
Right. Right, and a lot of people don't even think that matters. It totally matters.
Like number 10, financially.
Oh, right.
You got to be able to work things out. You can't have one person who is a hoarder, another person who is like a spendy person and everything like that. And, you know, two totally different philosophies of life when it comes to finances and everything. You're going to have some big fights.
Right.
You're going to have some major fights. And so you've got to just understand that, you know, not that, well, it's all going to work out because we're a Christian. So, you know, we don't really have it together. We don't know how to, you know, really balance our budget or even make a budget or be able to live within our means. Right. But, you know, we believe God's going to work it out for us. Well, you know, you have to use some wisdom.
Right.
There's just a lot of natural wisdom that comes into marriage. And if you don't use natural wisdom as a single person, yeah, I want to tell you something. It's not going to work in a marriage either.
Because you don't have it.
No. Just a heads up there, okay? And people tend to attract people like themselves. And so,
that's just very frustrating.
Yeah, absolutely. Because a person who has it all together financially, that is a huge turnoff to you know, mm-hmm. find somebody. Oh, they're a really nice person, but you don't have a clue when it comes to finances. Mm-hmm. And you think, well, it's okay, you know, I'll just keep track of the finances, I'll do that. But the other person will dig the ditch for you. Okay? That you'll shoot yourself and fall into.
Oh, no.
you just like, no. Find people that whatever. Be prepared. Be prepared for the future and all it can bring you financially. Okay, so make changes now if you need to. Whatever you need to do, you know, if you need to get out of debt, then get out of debt. That's a good thing for anybody and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Do whatever you can to make things secure for yourself going forward, and make sure that the person that you're marrying is somebody who has the same values as you do financially.
Right. Right.
And, you know, it's just, you know, you have to work with people.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Have to be alike. You know, I feel like there's, you know, many different things that we could, you know, hit on and touch on. But let me just say this, I think, and I know that we have mentioned this before in the earlier podcast, but I believe that for a single person, that one of the greatest prayers that you can pray is, Lord, whatever it is on the inside of me that needs to be adjusted, that needs to be burned out, that you desire to do in me so that I would be ready to be married, I ask you to do that to me now and work in me, Holy Spirit, and I give you freedom. And then don't be surprised when it's something that you didn't actually think that it would be. Or don't be surprised when it's something that, and again, you know, as Pastor Rodney says, you know, let the Holy Spirit be in charge of the archives. In other words, you don't have to sit there and like go back and try to figure everything out and go through some, you know, crazy type of, you know, in-depth, you know, counseling things or whatever, unless you've really been through a lot of stuff and you're really messed up. But what I'm saying is allow the freedom of the Holy Spirit to come in and to do a work on the inside of you, okay? Don't get weird about it. Don't get religious about it, but just say, Holy Spirit, I lay everything before you and I ask you to come in and burn with your fire. And if you don't think that you need to pray that prayer, I'm just going to tell you, you need to pray that prayer, mm-hmm. okay? Every person needs to pray that prayer before they're married because the Lord desires to do something in you that is actually so that it will equip you to not only stay married to, but actually be a great blessing to the person. Cause that's really what marriage is about. You don't go to a marriage going, what can I get out of this? But actually like, what can I give? How can I be a blessing to my spouse?
Totally so.
And it needs to work both ways. Obviously that only really works well when both of you have that same mindset. But it starts before you're married with having that mindset and being a person that you would actually want to be married to, if that makes sense. It's just like, you know, before we've prayed many times, even through the years, Lord, help me when we've worked and served other ministries and ministers. We've said, Lord, make us the employee or the helper or the volunteer, whatever capacity it was at that time, make us what we would want to have. You know, because you're always sowing seed, okay? And you need to be doing that in relationships as well. And that will really help you. And the Lord is so good. He knows exactly the person that you need, okay? So when you feel something or he's leading you in a direction, don't fight that. He knows exactly, even if you think, well, that's not what I was believing for. That's not, you know, I wanted them to have this color of hair or whatever. The Lord knows above all that what you actually need and what would be best for you.
Yes, he does. Trust him. Yes. God will not lead you astray.
And the Lord will bless you.
In all your ways, trust
him. The Lord will bless you in such a wonderful way. Just know that. I remember, you know, my parents got divorced, and it was pretty rough for a while there. I do have two amazing step-parents. I have an amazing stepdad and amazing stepmom that, I mean, the Lord has just done so much. I mean, in spite of a horrific time, the Lord has just restored so much. And I'm so thankful for both of them. I don't have a terrible story of an abusive stepfather or stepmother, anything like that. And I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. But because of just going through all of that, I just remember, you know, thinking, I don't want to ever be married. And I just don't know about that. And gosh, what if I, you know, it's like I had this fear of like, oh my gosh, what if I end up divorcing? I don't want to ever do that to my kids and everything. And I remember being in Bible school and realizing that like, wow, this is actually kind of an issue in your life, Katie. And I just remember allowing, I was just in a, it was a, just, really, I mean, the Lord was just touched me, and it was a time within the church even of revival and everything, and I just remember allowing the Holy Spirit to just do a really deep work on the inside of me, and I didn't realize that I had things on the inside of me from actually my parents going through the divorce and all that, that really were unhealed things, and of course, I didn't, I mean, if people would have said, oh, well, do you still have, you know, do you not like your dad, or do you not like your mom, or are you hurt, do you feel abandoned? I mean, I would have said, what are you talking about? Like, I didn't realize that, okay? So it was actually underneath the power of the Holy Spirit that those things were revealed to me, and I had a choice. I could have said, okay, Holy Spirit, do your work. Or I could have said, I don't want to be that vulnerable. I don't like this feeling, or, you know, I'm not that messed up, you know, and just like run away from what the Lord was trying to do. But instead, I just said, okay, Holy Spirit, you know, I just allow you to bring healing, and I ask you to forgive me if I've done anything wrong, if I held on to things. I just let it all go, and I just love you so much, Lord. I want you to do whatever you want to do in me. And it was really through that, and I remember also one day sitting, I was in Bible college, and in class, and I just remember all of a sudden, I can't even really put this into the right words. It was just like the anointing came upon me, and I just felt like the presence of the Lord. And I felt the Lord really taking away that thought that I could never be married, or that I don't ever want to be married or anything. And I just had a knowing about me that actually the Lord was really going to bless me with a wonderful husband. And I just had never had that before. And I just remember thinking, okay, this is kind of like, wow, this is kind of strange, but I guess this would be awesome. I mean, it was just such a new thing, you know, to me. And I was, you know, I went to Bible school, and I was just like, I'd gotten radically saved. So I was a new Christian, you know. I mean, this particular thing happened during my second year of Bible college. But had that not taken place, I know beyond all shadow of a doubt, there's no way that I would be able to be the wife that God had called me to be, or the mother that he called me to be, or certainly not the minister that he has called me to be. I wouldn't be able to be in a wonderful marriage. Like, our marriage has been so, so blessed, and we're so thankful. But I will also say we've actually worked a lot at it. And all through the years, I mean, we're getting ready this July to celebrate our 25th wedding anniversary.
Woohoo!
Which we're going away for that to a very cool place. And gonna
so God will reveal.
Yeah.
No, we awesome. Are. Yes, yeah. Amen.
And but we're just so thankful to the Lord. But let me just say, we're always working at that, and we keep the main things, you know. But if I could just, you know, just encourage you with this, that God has an amazing person for you. Because if you're single, it's like sometimes you think, oh my gosh, well, I've been waiting this long, or what about this, or whatever. That the Lord's plan is really for people who are married. Now, if you might say, well, I'm happily single and I don't want to get married, then don't get married. I mean, that's your choice.
Don't.
You know, that's fine too. It's totally fine. I just know that most people have that desire there. And of course, you know, it is a godly desire. It's not a bad thing. It's a godly desire. And so the Lord has someone wonderful for you. And I just want to encourage you, you know, when we do our part of allowing the Holy Spirit to work in our heart and do these different natural things that we've shared about and everything, and it's all in preparation for what the Lord has. And then, you know, let him reveal that to you. Obviously, and I'll just say, as guys, you're the one who's supposed to chase the lady. And when I say chase, that's not really what I, you know, but you're supposed to want to find.
Yeah, you pursue her until
yes,
she catches
pursue,
you.
Pursue, that's what I meant. That's funny.
No, you, yeah, the guy should be the one pursuing, not the lady.
Right, but sometimes today, and I know we did touch on this, but I mean, I just want to encourage guys again, you actually need to be like pursuing though. And actually active in that, instead of like, well, I don't know, I'm just so concerned about rejection. Well, you can't be that wimpy.
But some of them are.
You know, and you can't just like sit and live, you know, with your mom forever. I mean, you have to actually pursue a godly wife.
Absolutely.
You know, and look the part. You know, ladies are attracted to guys who are actually like they're intentional. They're going somewhere. They've got things together in life. They know what they're called to do. They're strong and they're determined. Obviously, guys need to, you know, be sensitive to a lady and treat her like a lady. Okay,
yes.
Not like an object, not like a possession. You know, not like a little girl or like an old lady. I mean, you need to treat her like a lady, but a lady, you need to allow yourself to be treated like a lady as well, too. I mean, some ladies are like, well, you don't need to open a door for me. Like, I mean, I can open my own door. I mean, I'm stronger than you are. I mean, seriously. Okay. You need to actually act like a lady as well. Like, be someone that he would actually want to pursue. You know, you're the feminine side of marriage, not him. And don't think that you're going to make him into some feminine thing. Let him be a man.
That's right.
And then let her be a lady.
Yeah.
Like, you stay in your lanes and do that to the very best of your ability. Work, do the best with what you have been given and embrace it. It'll be awesome. You guys together will be awesome. You'll be, you know, you'll be like a power couple for the Lord. It'll be amazing.
Amen. And I think that's it.
Yes.
So thank you for joining us for the Last Days podcast, as we were talking about different things that, you know, singles might do that might help them to yes. not stay single all their life. So share this with somebody that you think would benefit from it. And don't forget, we have our 2024 camp meeting coming up here, starting on Easter Sunday all the way through Friday, April 5th, 10 a.m. and 7 p.m., as it is in heaven. That's yes. the conference. My wife and I will be ministering at it, as well as our wonderful friend, Evangelist Tony Suarez. He's going to be with us also during that week. And it's going to be fantastic.
Morning and night.
Super powerful services. Come expecting
as it is in heaven.
The full Holy Ghost experience. Yes, amen. Absolutely. The presence of God. It's going to be incredible.
Yes.
Can't wait to see you. Come visit us here in Johnson City, Tennessee.
God bless you.
The most beautiful place on earth. And God still lives just down the street. Yeah. Love you. God bless. Bye-bye. Hey, this is Dr. Todd Holmes, and I want to thank you for listening to this podcast, whether it was myself or my amazing wife, Katie, maybe the two of us together. If you want to be more than just an occasional listener and desire to really stand with us as we take the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to this generation, go to riveroftricities.com. That's riveroftricities.com, and click on Donate to be a part of the Last Days Army of monthly partners that we're taking ground with. If you'd like to do that, I would like to send you a special gift for partnering with us. So until next time, thank you so much for listening. God bless you.